Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
I don't know. It seems I have more monitors in front of me, Paul Vallis. I could barely see you than I've ever had before. Or maybe it's because you're here. And how tall are you? 6 feet 87 or something? So maybe it's because of that. But I don't know. Do I seem shorter to you?
Most people seem shorter to me.
Well, Paul Vallis is here. Paul Vallis is one of 78 candidates, I believe, running for mayor. And you are doing very, very well. And I remember way early on, it's like, do you still remember me, Mr. Vallis? Because way early on, I came out and I said, you know, this guy really cares about companion animals. And, you know, this is not a political show per se. Having said that, you came on and you said, I have a plan and I have a dream for not only Chicago Animal Care and Control, bigger issue than that even, what we can do about companion animals in Chicago. And if you indulge me, Mr. Vallis, I do want to share a story with people because mm-hmm. this is what impressed me, among other things, because I've known you for some time. So much about you. When Susan Russell, then director of Chicago Animal Care and Control, was let go, coincidentally, right before the July 4th weekend by Mayor Rahm Emanuel, there was a protest. And one might be surprised at the number of people that actually showed up at this protest.
Quite a turnout.
Yeah, yeah. It was several thousand people at this thing. And you were there. So I was speaking. And sometimes you're as I mentioned, you're a tall guy, so you're kind of hard to miss. And I saw you out of the corner of my eye. And I spoke and then introduced former Governor Pat Quinn. He spoke. And then we finally caught up with you and we said, come on, you know, you could still speak. We could still introduce you. And you said, no, I'm just here as a private citizen. I want to support what is the right thing, which was Susan Russell not being fired in the first place, as director of Chicago Animal Care and Control. You could have taken advantage of that situation. Then you and I talked about what you might do for animal mm-hmm. welfare. And, you know, I've been around through more than one mayoral election, several now. I don't remember in Chicago or anywhere in the country a major city that it's ever become animal welfare has ever become an issue. And you said, I'm going to make it an issue. And thank you for that, because, first of all, you created a real plan, like you have for everything. But you just didn't. I mean, it is a real plan. I write about it. I have a link to it on my website, stevedale.tv. But in addition to that, because you did it, the other candidates jumped on board and did it as well. And I think we had several of the candidates on this show.
That's right.
Yeah. So talk about that.
Well, you know, campaigns are about focusing on issues that need to be addressed. And I think the plight of animals in this city and the operations of the of the Chicago Animal Care and Control office, really department agency, should have been a priority a long time ago, and it's an important issue. And believe it or not, you know, some people have said, "Why are you focusing on that? There are other important issues in the city." Well, I'm focusing on all the issues. You know, I can chew gum and walk at the same time.
Well, and some of them are interrelated. You know,
they're all interrelated.
Yeah,
something like this. First of all, this is the animal welfare community, the animal rights advocates. This is a very important issue to them for all sorts of reasons, for emotional reasons, for personal reasons. I mean, us being a humane city says something about who we are. It's so much a part of our character. It should be a part of the city's character. It should be something that we are known for. So it's important on all levels. And I've talked to you in the past, and we don't need to revisit it, but about how animals have been important in our life. Me as a child who stuttered and stammered and gravitated toward animals, we always had a dog, and I always brought every stray cat home that I could find, or for that matter, every bird with a broken wing. And, you know, when you're growing up as a very introverted child, particularly when you have a severe stutter and stammer, and other kids make fun of you, and sometimes you're a bit ostracized. Sometimes you ostracize yourself. Okay, it's not mm-hmm. that kids are being cruel; it's that you're too self-conscious, and you gravitate towards certain things. So animals always gave me comfort, and of course, you know, I told you about the importance that our family dog played with my wife, and it was funny. I have to tell you this story. You know, I came out with this big initiative. The initiative isn't that important, and I put my press release out, put it online, and I think I got like 800 hits. And then, of course, my son Gus, who is a police officer in San Antonio, purchased a dog, or he acquired a dog.
He rescued a dog.
Yep. Sorry. And so he posts a picture of the dog and sends it to me. So I put it on, you know, I put it on online, and of course, I got 10 times the number of hits.
So don't talk about education or politics or police.
It was really fun. I called them and I said, "You beat me like 10-1." But yeah. You know, in all seriousness, it is a very, very important issue, and I think we need. You know, we can have a lot of priorities in this city. You know, it's not an issue of ranking them, and we can have a lot of priorities that you know, carry comparable weight. And this is an important issue. And you know, coming from a family where there are six veterans, where we've had six individuals who have been in the military, and having had a son in the military and a son in combat, you know, I'll tell you, he'll tell you how important companion animals can be, particularly for returning vets and things like that, particularly for returning vets who have been in combat, who are sometimes trying to deal with post-traumatic stress issues. And it's really important. And you know, in our communities, we have communities where people are in a state of constant traumatic stress. In other words, the stress is never ending. These are communities that have high levels of poverty. These are communities that are in a state of economic depression. These are communities that have been plagued with violence. And, you know, children growing up in those environments, they're food deserts, they're retail deserts, they're commercial deserts. And so, you know, there's a lot of trauma there that needs to be addressed, and companion animals can be a really important vehicle for providing the communities, and particularly the children, with you know, some comfort. They can be a very nurturing and healing vehicle, and so I think it's really important.
You just hit on something incredibly important, and you hit on something that research shows is absolutely correct.
That's right.
And we can even broaden that. We can broaden that to senior citizens who live alone. And all they end up having, you know, is for companionship, is their dog or their cat. And they live for that dog or cat. And there are thousands and thousands of people like that in Chicago. And there's thousands of people who could be helped even more if they had that companion animal or had the choice. And having someone who understands what you just said, eloquently said, more so than I said, is really astounding to me. That's wonderful.
And let me point out that
these issues are interrelated.
They are interrelated, and there's parallels between the way we treat animals and the way we treat, you know, our neighbors, the way we treat our children. So, you know, there are so many parallels. It's not separate. It's so much about who we are. It's so much about our humanity. So this is an important issue. And in the budget scheme of things, it's such a tiny issue. It's such an easy issue to address. It's such an easy issue to give a greater priority to.
So, relative to all this, I'll put you on the spot, but I have before, so I know what the answer is, unless you've changed your mind. One of the promises you made is more money for animal care and control, because what can be a lot for animal care and control, $500,000, whatever the number is a drop in the bucket relative to the city budget. Also, there's a cost to euthanizing animals,
There's a financial cost.
There's an emotional cost. There's a cost to the city, but there's a financial cost. So if we euthanize fewer, that $500,000 isn't quite as much money right there.
And not only that, if we have a comprehensive policy that deals with the issue of making Chicago a more humane city and caring for our animals more effectively, then you know, then you don't have cases where you have to euthanize. You know, I mean, it's a comprehensive approach to things. You've talked about it.
Yes.
You know, and about giving families access to the, you know, to the services that they need, so that, you know, closing the puppy mills. I mean, we can go through the whole thing.
Well, so yes. So thank you. I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is so Chicago. I saw what New York was doing because I was involved in this. I had the honor to moderate a panel of experts, renowned experts from around America on domestic abuse and violence. And New York City now has an entire building. It's about to open very, very soon, I believe, where pets and people will live together. Purina supported this effort. They said, okay, we're experts on pets. We could help you there. You're experts on domestic violence. Let's do this. And they raised the money. They were able to do it. And by gosh, it's going to be, it's the first, like, there's nothing else like it in America, except they already have places in New York City, not enough, which is why they're building this building from scratch with pets and people in mind, but they currently do allow companion animals in some of their facilities in New York City. So I came home to Chicago. I said, we can do this. There's one alderman I know, James Kappelman, is a clinical social worker, so I know he'd get it, and he does. So we met with the Department of Housing or whoever we met with, all these honchos, and we were blown away by the lack of number of beds that there are in Chicago. And this is how this all interrelates. For victims of domestic abuse, I don't remember what the number was, but it's like under 100. Well, and it's like 10% of what New York has.
Well, if you remember, one of the things that I've proposed in my affordable housing program is a couple things. You know, we have an affordable housing issue, a serious affordable housing issue in this city, and it's not being addressed. And you know, and we're providing a lot of times subsidies to developers and requiring that they set aside certain numbers of affordable housing, and sometimes they can buy out of that. But at the end of the day, the numbers that they're setting aside are in the hundreds, not the thousands that's needed. I think I saw a statistic saying Chicago needs over 100,000 additional affordable units. So basically what I've recommended is two things. Well, a number of things. But among the things I recommended was removing obstacles to the creation of more affordable housing. Like, for example, if we remove the obstacles to the conversion of like coach houses, or for that matter, unimproved space to garden units, in 3 or 4 years you could create 150,000 affordable units without any taxpayer subsidy. But I also recommended that the city take all these buildings that they control. These are residents that are unoccupied, and seize and secure the residents that are out there that are unoccupied and rotting because they're in, you know, they've been up in their tax court, you know, where they're selling the homes because of delinquent property taxes, or for that matter, they've been foreclosed upon. And you see them, they're often in the poorest communities. And we should take those buildings, we should turn them over to community-based organizations, not only for the creation of more affordable housing, but for specialized housing like transition centers for individuals who are the victims of domestic violence, or for that matter, you know, group homes, because there's tens of thousands of young people who are in effect homeless for all practical purposes. Teenagers, I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know, so there's no reason why we can't have literally in every other ward a building that's dedicated to those who are the victims of domestic violence and need to be in safe settings. And there's no reason why those homes can't also be homes that also facilitate those individuals being there with their animals.
I have a hunch when you're mayor, I'm going to be on many committees that you have, or recommend people who could be on those committees. We have to break for what are called commercials. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You can text us at that same number, 312-981-7200. In fact, you have done so. And I'll get to some of those texts next. You know, we don't have a long enough show to really talk to Paul Vallis about all these issues. Just some of the texts that have come in, Paul. And, of course, Paul Vallis running for mayor, City of Chicago. And I will say this before I read the text. And, Mr. Vallis, you tell me if you agree. First of all, please vote. That's first. And secondly, these polls sometimes aren't quite right, and we think, well, that person isn't going to win anyway, whoever that person is, and we want to get behind the winner. I guess that's human nature. Vote for the person you believe is right. Would you agree with those things?
Absolutely. But, you know, right now, what, there's 14 candidates, and the leading candidate in the polls, as we speak, is undecided, which means people are waiting until the last minute, and I really think they're scrutinizing the candidates. And, you know, we've been inundated with commercials from, I call them the four tops. Those are the four candidates. Those are the four, or the Burke four. Those are the four candidates who entered the race, courageously entered the race after Rahm Emanuel dropped out.
Yeah.
And Mendoza, Chico, Daley, and Preckwinkle. And they have spent a combined, like, $6 million on TV, something like that. And guess what? Not one of them is polling better than 15%, depending on what poll you look at.
And
a couple
right.
are in single digits.
You're right.
And I'm right in the middle. You know, 15% is going to get you into the runoff. My polling tells me I'm in the runoff. So at the end of the day, I'm absolutely convinced that we're going to, I don't want to say we're going to make history. I've said from the beginning, as early as April, that I was going to run a totally issue-oriented campaign where I was going to talk about all the problems that the city faces and offer with great specificity how I'm going to, you know, how I'm going to revitalize the police department, how I'm going to invest in the 80% of the communities that have seen no investment. A stunning report just came out that said in 1970, 50% of the city was middle class. Today, 16% of the city is middle class, the vanishing middle class. And to be specific on issues like how Chicago's going to become a humane city and how we're going to treat our animals. So,
okay, speaking of which, I've got to jump in here because we have literally 3 minutes left.
Oh, goodness.
I know. I just want to read some of these. I love the ideas that you, meaning you, have mentioned. I am a true pet lover. I didn't know Mr. Vallis thought this way. I'm so happy to hear this. I've helped my parents in their 90s. Good for you. And I understand troubled neighborhoods. And then it says something about pet dental health. And my mouse stopped moving, so I can't read all these. I don't know what happened. Who will pay the vet bills? That refers to, I believe, what we talked about, if we allowed pets in housing for victims of domestic violence. And what they're doing in New York City is they're providing low-cost veterinary care, which is, so vaccines and those sorts of things, spay-neuter, that's all subsidized. So you had an idea about a task force quickly.
Yeah, well, very quickly, you know, for me, it's all how do you institutionalize these things? Because you may have a future mayor after me, you know, who is less sensitive to these issues. And I've basically said we need to bring the community together and to really empower. I always say that if you want to empower the community, give them power. So what I want to do is create an animal welfare advisory council that would be the advisory council that oversees the Chicago Animal Care and Control department and selects the next director, helps set budget priorities, makes a determination on what the most appropriate programs are. In other words, this would be the entity, and their vehicle would be that department, would be the Chicago Animal Care and Control Department. And they would make recommendations regarding the budget. They would prioritize the type of policies that the city needs to embrace. And I think if we did that, if we really created this council
to bring in real experts,
if not only you bring in real experts, it would be a vehicle to unite a community that's already pretty closely united. Mm-hmm. But if they are empowered to really go in and to shape city policy and city initiatives, it's going to help. Clearly, we're going to have to put more money in, but let me tell you, the amount of additional money and support that you're going to get privately, I think, would be significantly increased. But we've got the ability to do this. Let's empower the community to drive, to help Chicago make Chicago a more humane city.
Perfect place for me to leave it. Thank you, Paul Vallis.
My pleasure.
What's Tuesday?
Look, I tell people the city has a lot of problems. I can address these problems. I can address these issues. But if you want real change, you've got to vote for it. So this is an important election to get out and vote. And we're all, you know, all the candidates are, we're interviewing for a job right now. So it's important to really look at the candidates and look at the specificity of their recommendations. And I believe if the public does this, I'll be victorious. Thank you so much, though. I appreciate the kindness that you've shown me and the opportunities that you've afforded me to get out my message.
All right. You know, pets aren't like family. They are family. I'm talking to the guy who knows that. That's why doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always there when you and your pets need them the most. Here's where they're at. They're at Belmont, Clybourne, and Western right there, kind of like right at the corner there. And 24/7, every day of the year. That's the whole idea, emergency care. They were, I know, the first in Chicago, one of the first in the country. But above and beyond that, they have specialists, more specialists than I have time to rattle off right now, but veterinary neurologists, veterinary ophthalmologists, cancer specialist, and the list goes on and on. MedVet Chicago, you could check them out. I hope you do at medvetforpets.com or call them 773-281-7110. Let me do that again. 773-281-7110. MedVetChicago.com.